Major League Baseball, you could dream with no limits. You could become your hero.
Oh, he's done it again.
Steal the show. Or even start a new club. You could meet the moment and exceed the hype. You could write a new chapter of history and let your city dream again. This is Anything Can Happen.
Welcome back to Hack Job. Today, we're with the Gilberts. Okay, guys, are you ready to see your new kitchen?
Let's go.
Take a look. Oh, here we go.
It looks amazing.
We didn't do anything. We just put Bud Light on the counter.
Exactly. It totally opens it up. We gave it a fun vibe. Clearly, this is a room people want to hang out in.
It's the sure sign of a good time. Just right taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
The landscapers are here. Nice.
Out a can of Old Bay. A dock worker from Locust Point. A doctor from Sinai. A hairdresser from Patterson Park. And a firefighter from Glendon. There's a fourth grader from Friendship Academy, and a lacrosse star for Boys Latin, a Catholic priest, and an Orthodox rabbi, a grandma from Dundalk, and a drummer from Hamilton. What's inside a can of Old Bay? You are. Old Bay. For 75 years, it's been the can that connects us.
How could he just walk away? It was the coldness in his eyes. He should have heard it. This family really is an F word. Oh, rub my legs, Mama.
Why would I rub your legs?
Please. They hurt. I have growing pains.
Gwendolyn, why is your hand so tiny again?
It's not my hand.
Oh, Mary, Mother. Joseph!
That was nice for me.
Wait! I heard what happened with the convoy. Hey! Huh. Why wouldn't you cover that up?
A warrior has nothing to be ashamed of.
Oh, but you do. I mean, look at you. You're just straight shirt cocking it. Toddler style.
Oh, yeah. Full Winnie the Pooh.
What the hell's happening? Describe it.
I wouldn't ask him to do that if
well,
I
it's did. Like,
here we go.
It's like he was giving birth anally, but they quit halfway through. They got the legs out and they said, you know what? I'm done.
Happy?
It's like he's a Muppet from the waist down, but this time, you can see the Muppet's dick. Grover's got a cock the size of a
kid. I've had 3 tickets already. Ah! Ah, no, no, no. DP, not again.
Has this happened before?
No.
Jesus, either vomit or don't. The decision is killing me.
Why couldn't God take my hearing?
Oh. Wow.
Cool your pits. They're growing back.
I'm talking about your face. I've never seen you without your mask before. Jesus Christ.
Looks like an avocado.
Your legs, though. They're cute. You want to buy our pair of pants?
I'm glad everybody dropped by. You must be wondering why I didn't call you here.
I'll tell you why I'm here. The time traveler's wife's husband beat me within an inch of my life. He was torturing me. But all I told him was everything he wanted to know. So, I'm here to help us gear up so we can go after him without me.
No, I'm doing this alone. The Juggernaut will kill you all.
Fair enough.
I just need a couple of hours to get some legs under me.
What will you do?
I don't care what the kid did to me. I ain't letting Cable get to him, even if I have to teabag him to death.
But it's really just a sip of tea at this point.
Sip it, Black Widow. I'm flowing. The first order of business is to get me in front of Cable so I can pull all the fucking blood out of his body and fashion his bones into holiday jewelry. Then I'm going to take his skin and stretch it out over a homemade mating drum. He's standing right behind you, isn't he? What in the ass? Is this apartment listed on Tinder? Grindr? You picked the wrong shithole to fuck, future boy.
Is that really necessary?
No. It's his basic instinct.
What can we help you with?
I'm here to proposition you.
Oh, boy. He's really teeing it up, isn't he?
Who gets to make the first joke?
I think we should all do it at the same time.
Good call.
For 45, you get sucky.
I only do over the pants mouth stuff.
Fuck!
The proposition has a wonderful Guy Fieri performance.
Wait. I want to do mine over. Give us the line again.
Right.
studio complex is straight out of God's country, Pawleys Island, South Carolina. The Let's Talk Baseball Podcast Network proudly presents Backwards K Pod. And now, here's the host of the show, Jake Robinson.
I never move in slow-mo. Welcome to my dojo. This on the pods of so-so. Chill like bro, yo. Focus like a GoPro. Ripping up this promo. Check out the scoreboard. Freaks are going. No, no, it's going, it's going, it's going. No, it's gone. Your heart just stopped. Cause Jake got strong and mighty. Undefeated, I mean it. Pull up the pods, swallow it down, then read it. Written, produced, directed, and mixed. Tongue on your lips and eyes and smith back lips. Pick a tip, any tip, get on to it. I got ridiculous pods without posing it. You sit at home crying like a girl while I spread the gospel around the world. Yo, the pods are written behind tracks that makes it smooth with the groove to make ears want to listen. Add a little cut in a rhythm to back it up. Another show to my name, now I can stack them up. You think another might rap back, but this ain't no ad jack. My hobby's the rhyme, some people try to be black, but then about time I come out, call the show. Be convenient, let me turn it out, yo. Name, take the state, point of 71. Date, you know what time it is, I'm packing them guns. Yo, experience, I've been a witness to glory. And that's why I collect ball players and their stories. You heard? So, once again, back is the incredible, the pod animal, Jake the Snake Robinson, from the Let's Talk Baseball Podcast Network. I'm coming out of Pawleys Island, South Carolina, half man, half podcast machine, back in the Captain Kirk chair, shields down, photons up. Prepare to engage on this week's digital audio program that I call Backwards K-Pod, where we collect ball players and their stories. What's cracking, C-Meds? What's good? Welcome back into the dojo for yet another scintillating chapter of the Grassroots Baseball Podcast, spanning the globe. Backwards K-Pod, where we collect ball players and their stories. Hello, everybody. It's your boy, Jake the Snake Robinson, from the Let's Talk Baseball Podcast Network. I got your hookup. Holler if you hear me. BKP is available on all platforms, wherever you listen to your pods, iHeart, Spotify, Apple, iTunes, Chromecast, Google Play, Podbean. You can even tell Alexa to get face down and ask something. She will gladly present Backwards K-Pod to you. I'm all tangled up in the web, brah. Seek and ye shall find. This is chapter 131 of our never-ending story, and this week we will do the drawing for our second annual Manager's Deadpool. Well, I mean, actually, I've been doing this for like 5 years, but it's the second time I've done the drawings live on air, and it's kind of becoming this Backwards K-Pod tradition. So, here's the deal. I have two hats in front of me. On my left, I have my Gunnar Henderson autographed batting helmet in front of me, filled with 46 names of members from the Let's Talk Baseball Podcast Network Facebook group page. And my lucky Orioles hat to my right, I have the name of all 30 current managers in the major leagues. Now, I'm going to draw a member name from the Gunnar Henderson helmet. And then I will draw a manager's name from the Lucky Orioles hat. And we're going to pair the names with the managers for the 2024 season. I do have 46 members who wanted to get in on this drawing. So the first 16 teams are going to have two people represent them. And let me see here. And for any reason that the manager that your name is drawn to is permanently let go first, whether it's a resignation deal or he is fired or, God forbid, he dies. If the manager is shown the door before any other manager and you have that manager's name, then you win this year's Deadpool Trophy. It's real easy, a lot of fun, and you'll be able to follow your manager's progress throughout the season. Now, last year's winner was Adam J. Hebel, a school teacher in Baltimore, Maryland, by way of Philadelphia. He had Gabe Kapler, the former Giants manager, who was the first to be fired last year. And Because of that, Adam took home the trophy. Who's it going to be this year? Some of these guys will be great picks. Some not so good. It's all the luck of the draw, but you never know what can happen. I don't remember feeling like Gabe Kapler was in trouble at the beginning of last year, and it was kind of shocking. He was the first to get the axe. So you never really know how these things work out. And it should be a lot of fun. So it all seems pretty straightforward, nice and easy. Let's get this contest going. Good luck. I can't wait to see who will take home this year's trophy on our second annual LTBPN Backwards K-Pod Manager's Deadpool. And that is sponsored by our good friends at Laparose Hand Cleaners. You got to check my dude out. I mean, this is a former Navy vet that we went to boot camp together a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And he's gone on to do some amazing stuff. He's created these hand wipes for whenever you're eating like spicy shell food, shrimp, crabs, crayfish. He's got bait hand wipes. He's got soaps. And now he's delving into like these different sauces. He's got Cajun sauce and hot sauces for your buffalo wings. I mean, my dude is blowing it up. I'm so proud of my man and his former Navy vet, my man Laparel. So you can go to crawfishhandcleaner.com or give them a call at 713-588-0290. That's 713-588-0290. So, with that, I'd like to get you C-Meds to clear the platform here at Terrapin Station. Let's get this pool rolling along, shall we? As I look to the west of Terrapin, I can see right down that left field line of our beautifully manicured Jewel Box Stadium, where our home team, BK9, has set up shop. They're ready to go to work. The pitcher has completed his warm-up tosses. The catcher has thrown down a second. The umpire has called play ball, and the infield is throwing that seat around with snap and swagger. And that is my cue, as always, to call all aboard. And let's get you nerds who are participating in this year's pool loaded up, and I'll let Gunner take us on a little trip around the baseball universe. So, hurry, hurry, step right up. Get in when you fit in. My state-of-the-art time travel choo-choo is expansive. You can hang out in our social lounges or grab yourself a private box, equip with video and audio on the pool. Take off your shoes. Kick up your feet. Open your kimonos. Ladies, rip off those bras. Stuff them in your purse. Let the twins hang. We don't judge. Whatever you gotta do to get comfortable, I say do it. So, sit back and relax, and let's get this 2024 Manager's Death Pool underway with the very first pick. So, I'm gonna pick two names out of the box here. My Gunner Henderson helmet. Actually, maybe I should pick the manager's name first. Let's do it that way. So, the first manager I'm pulling out of the Orioles' lucky hat is going to be Ron Washington of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, Alameda, Irvine. And let's see who the names are going to be this year to have Ron Washington as their manager here. I'm going to pick out two names out of the box. Oh, man, I think I wrapped these a little too tight. Let me see here. So, there you go. There's a name right there. The first name unwrapped is Chanel McCaskill out of Chicago, Illinois. And I also have, along with Chanel, it's going to be Anthony Dooley out of Detroit, Michigan. So, you two will have Ron Washington, the new manager of the Los Angeles Angels. And I gotta tell you, I'm so happy when I see Wash managing a team in the majors. But he has his work cut out for him from his outman Halos team. He's going to stress this work ethic and molding that team into a cohesive family unit while trying to change the culture and develop a new structure path for the organization. And even though my expectations of Wash leading the 2024 team to the postseason are tempered, it's good to see the Angels looking to build the franchise up through their minor league system as well as on the MLB side. And Wash will come to the stadium every day expecting to win, and hopefully that can transfer over to the players. Mike Trout, for one, looks to be in beast mode as he's already smashed 10 home runs in the first month, 3 of those coming against my Orioles. And he looks fantastic. Miguel Sano is in great shape, making all kinds of plays at third base. Their rookie first baseman, Nolan Shanwell, has given me flashes of like Wally Joyner. Reed Detmers looks like he has taken the next step in his evolution as a top of the rotation starter, fireballer, right-handers. Sam Bachman, Ben Joyce, they should be up for stay any moment now. There are a lot of good things going on in the organization, but it's going to take time and patience and an unyielding love and care for it to grow. I don't think Wash is vulnerable at all this year. He really may be, as a teacher, the best man for the job currently, and I say it's only 5% vulnerability. So not a great pick to start it off. We got Chanel McCaskill out of Chicago, Illinois, and Anthony Dooley out of Detroit, Michigan, and their manager is Ron Washington, and the draft is officially underway. I should say the pool, right? It's not really a draft. Alright, so let me reach into my lucky Orioles hat here. We'll pick out the second manager of the 2024 Deadpool. And it's Derek Shelton from the Pittsburgh Pirates. Alright, let's see. Who's got Derek Shelton? I reach into my Gunnar Henderson batting helmet that my beautiful fans sent me. I gotta thank you guys. I love it so much. I'm gonna be buried with this thing. Straight the F up. Alright, so I reach in. I got two names. Let me unfold this. And the first name is Omar Gabby out of Chicago. That's my boy O. And the second name is going to be Brian McKenzie out of Ontario, Canada. Is it Ontario or Ontario? It's Ontario, right? I sound like a moron. Ontario, Canada. So Brian McKenzie, Omar Gabby, they have Darius Shelton. And much like David Bell with Cincinnati, I just can't call it with Buckos manager Derek Shelton. I felt like his job was in jeopardy going into last year, but he started off hot, as the Pirates are prone to do, and he was given an extension. And honestly, I just don't get it. Is no one going to be held accountable for what is going on in this sleeping giant of a baseball team? We already know that owner Bob Nutting won't hold himself accountable, but no one else is going to take the bull by the horns here. It absolutely sickens me what has happened to this franchise. The Buccos again started off hot this year. They're now struggling to keep their head around 500. Shelton has a woeful 399 winning percentage, including back-to-back 100 loss campaigns. And I gotta feel like hope is on the way in beast prospect pitcher Paul Skeens, but is it enough? I mean, are we gonna go to the same rigmarole where you have Tyler Glasnow and Garrett Cole, and eventually down the line you lose those guys because you're not gonna pay them with Paul Skeens? I mean, they gotta get some urgency here. They got Skeens coming, but is it enough? And the Pirates should be getting more bang for their buckos with the high draft picks they've had in recent years. Shelton at least has to improve He has to improve from his 76 and 86 record from a year ago to survive. I would think. Technically, they have improved every year of his tenure, but the improvements have been very incremental. And I don't know. I think he should be vulnerable, but I just can't call it when it comes to Pirates management. Brian McKenzie, Omar Gavi, you guys have Derek Shelton of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Okay. Pick number 3 in the 2024 LTBPN Manager's Deadpool. Reaching to my Orioles lucky hat. As the very next name is David Bell, whom I kind of talked about with Sheldon here. So let's see here. Two names out of my Gunnar Henderson helmet. I got the Outsiders on you know, in the background with the volume down, and Tom Cruise looks crazy as like a 16-year-old kid. Alright, so I got one name open. David Bell for the Cincinnati Reds. Again, this is a two-name pick right here. Alright, here we go. Two of my good friends here. I got Peter Cervello out of Utica, New York, and Jared Koff out of Northern Virginia. And your manager this year will be David Bell of the Cincinnati Reds. Now, the Reds rebounded last year, right? We all saw it, enjoyed watching those youngins play there. They went 82-80 for third place in the Central. You know, and I come from a small market city. So I like when small market teams just kind of catch everybody, lightning in a bottle. And going into last year's Deadpool, for me, David Bell was on shaky ground. He was one of my more higher rated vulnerable managers, and it looked like only a matter of when and not if with him. And but then Scotty McLean, Ellie De La Cruz, Will Benson hit the ground running as rookies, and guys like Spencer Steer, TJ Friedel, they emerged, and poof, all of a sudden, David Bell's shortcomings have disappeared seemingly overnight. The Reds are expected to compete, and should they fail to deliver with this squad of talent, it could be night-night for Bell. I put him at 25% vulnerable, not a great pick, but there is pressure to win there in Cincinnati. Alright, so Jared Koff and Peter Cervello, you two guys, did David Bell of the Cincinnati Reds. Alright, I think this is what, pick number 4, correct? Going into the Lucky Orioles hat. Let me see. I'm going to dig into this pile of paper here. I got a name in my head. I'm unraveling it as I speak to you. And the next pick, the next manager, will be Mike Schilt of the San Diego Padres. Alright, so now let me get down in here and pick two names out of my Gunnar Henderson helmet. Name number 1 is... Oops, I ripped the paper. Okay, let me see here. My main man, Eric Welsh out of Baltimore, Maryland, the Rabbit. Probably my best friend in the whole world. Alright, let me see here. I'm reaching here for another name. And it is, along with Eric, it's gonna be my main man, Leo Jane, out of Melbourne, Australia, land down under. Great fan, great friend, loves the show, listens every week, is always sending me messages. That's my boy, Leo Jane, down in the land down under. Unfortunately, they didn't get a great pick. I don't consider myself very vulnerable at all. In fact, I'm looking for my pen here. I'm sorry. He's like, you know, Mike Schilt is one of these long-time seam head organizational coaches who finally works their way into a major league manager's position, and I'm a sucker for those guys. Schultz spent 18 years in the Cardinals organization before managing the Cardinals to 3 straight playoff appearances, 2019 NL Manager of the Year, before being inexplicably fired by the Redbirds for what? I still don't know. To Schultz's credit, he picked himself up. He landed in San Diego in 2002 as a senior advisor to the Major League staff in the Player Development Department, and he was then elevated to the skipper job when Bob Melvin left for San Francisco. And he's been in the organization for the last 3 years. He's developed relationships and trust throughout the organization. And quite frankly, the Padres and the Brewers have been really two of my most surprising teams thus far, in a good way. He's loved and respected there. I think he's going to be there for a while. I only have him at 10% vulnerability, and I consider him to be pretty safe as far as job security is concerned. Okay, not a great pick. We're now going to pick number 5 in the 2024 Deadpool draft drawing, sponsored by Lavros Hand Cleaners. You guys gotta check out my boy. I mean, his stuff is just epic. I just reached into my lucky Orioles hat and I came out with, I was staying on the West Coast, Bob Melvin of the Giants. Let me reach in here and grab 2 names. This is pick number 5, I believe, right? Okay, pick number 5. Bob Melvin is the manager. Oh boy, that's funny. I got one name unwrapped. Let me see if I can find my other one. Sun's gone to hell. Okay, 2 Bryans. Brian Davis out of Valley Station, Kentucky. And Brian Belzito, my boy Bells, out of Dewey, Arizona. Dewey, Arizona. Dewey, Arizona. And it's funny because Belzito's a Giants fan. So, sorry there, brother. You got to kind of root for your own dude to get fired. But look, last year, Hebel, the school teacher out of Baltimore, was the winner of the 2023 Manager's Deadpool when Giants manager Gabe Kapler was the first to be sent to get robbed. So I don't remember thinking Kapler was that vulnerable last year. I would have to go back and listen to remember my analysis from last year's show. I do remember thinking Tino Francona was the most secure manager of all of them last year, and it was looking like he might win or lose, depending on your perspective. He might win or lose the pool, but the Giants gave Kapler his welcome, because Tino was going to retire as soon as the last game was over, but the Giants gave Kapler his welcome papers, like, real quick. And if I remember correctly, wasn't that, like, right before the end of the season? It seems I remember it that way. I could be wrong. Anyway, Kapler is out. Bob Melvin is in. Highly respected manager in the industry after his stints with the A's, Friars, and now the Giants. And his reputation may have taken some bumps as far as his relationship with Padres GM A.J. Preller, but Melvin appears to be reinvigorated by his return to his hometown of San Francisco. And honestly, only a tragedy of some sort is forcing Melvin out of San Francisco at the end of this year. He's 8% vulnerable, and I'm really sorry to my 2 Bryans about that crappy pick. Sorry about that, but you know, that's the way it goes sometimes. Alright, pick number 6 of the 2024 LTBPN Manager's Deadpool, sponsored by Lavros Hand Cleaners. Alright, I reached into my lucky Oriole hat here, and the next manager's name I pulled, I don't know, maybe I need to mix this up a little bit here. I'm staying on the West Coast a lot here. I got Dave Roberts from the Los Angeles Dodgers. So he's the next manager on the chopping block here. Let's see if I can pick him out. 2 names for him to be represented by. 2 listeners. All right, there's 1. And here is the second one. I'd like to open them both up before I tell you who they are. All right. So Dave Roberts of the Los Angeles Dodgers. I miss Vin Scully, man. Okay. Dave Roberts of the Dodgers. He's being represented by the Godfather, Don Mason, out of Tennessee. And my man, Kurt Stewart up there in Columbus, Ohio. So, Kurt Stewart, Don Mason, the Godfather. You two have Dave Roberts from the Los Angeles Dodgers. And at first you may think, wow, this is a crappy pick. But if you put some context to it, it's not the worst pick in the pool. And I'll tell you why. When you're a team led by Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, which is pretty beast, by the way, but you get your ass handed to you in the first round of the playoffs by the eventual NL pennant winning Diamondbacks, then you go out and defer money all over the place, picking up Shohei Ohtani, Yasunobu Yamamoto, Teoscar Hernandez, Tyler Glasnow in a trade. Anything other than winning the World Series is a massive failure, and it's just one year down and up in smoke in the whole scheme of things. And despite 11 straight postseason appearances, the last eight which have been under the stewardship of Roberts, they've only produced one world title, and all their haters like to remind them it was the pandemic shortened season of 2020. Now, I believe a title is a title, and in some ways, it was harder for LA to win that shortened season world championship, but understandably, I'm probably in the minority there. Around baseball, and even within the Dodgers' infrastructure, there is an urgency to win a full season World Series title to silence any lingering doubter. So, obviously, they spent wildly this offseason to make that happen. You got Mookie till 2032, Ohtani through 2033, Yamamoto through 2035. You're looking at a decade-long, wide-open window of chances to get her done. But I do wonder if Roberts is the guy. The franchise is desperate to win the World Series. Everyone assumes they're going to win a World Series, at least one together. So get out there, Dave, and win that chip. Or else, I got Dave at 33%. I do see him with a little bit of vulnerability there. All right, so Kurt Stewart, Don Mason, you have Dave Roberts from the Los Angeles Dodgers. And that brings us to pick 7 in the 2024 LTBPN Managers Deadpool. All right, let me see if I can pick somebody from like the middle of the country, maybe. How about that? Let's get off the West Coast, baby. By the way, I'm not superstitious, but I'm a little stitious. You feel me? Okay, here we go. Manager. Oh, this is a good one. Oliver Marmol for the St. Louis Cardinals. I know there's some people right now listening like, oh, man, I hope I get this fucking bum right here. Nah, wah. All right, let's see. Who are the names going to be? We're going to pick 2 names out of my Gunnar Henderson autographed helmet. And here we go. Oh, he's going to love that pick. I got the first name down and pulled it out. Oh, they're both going to like this pick, I'm sure. Okay. Oliver Marmol is on the chopping block now. Put your head in there. There you go. Now let's close this up right here. Corey Smith, the Joker out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. And Jess Potente out of Piscataway, New Jersey. I think it's Piscataway. I know it's somewhere in Jersey. You guys got Oliver Marmol. That's not a bad pick at all. And initially, I was thinking second-year manager Albert Marmol was for sure vulnerable. But I was shocked to realize he was given an extension through the 2026 season. And coming off the Cardinals' first losing season since 2007 and their first 90-loss win season since George Herbert Walker Bush was president back in 1990. You know, while managers can be and have been castrated while under an extension, I suspect Marmol is probably safe for the time being, but I'm not so sure. To be clear, the Cards, they don't want to change managers. They've done plenty of that over the last few years, and this year has been a shaky start for the Redbirds, to say the least. I have Marmol at 70% vulnerable. And I was laughing because Corey Smith is a big-time Cubs fan, so he would enjoy it twice as nice as Ryu Nidia's and Ice if Marmol was to lose his job, because that means the Cards are just pathetic. They don't look good right now. I think Marmol, I think that's a good pick. Jesper Tate, Corey Smith out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, that's your guy. All right, the eighth pick. Is it the eighth pick? Where are we at? It is the eighth pick of the 2024 LTBPN Managers Deadpool, sponsored by Lavarose Hand Cleaners. All right, reaching into the Gunnar Henderson helmet here. I'm picking out two players. The manager selected was A.J. Hinch from the Detroit Tigers. And I'm now getting the second name out of that Gunnar Henderson helmet. Okay, and I got two names here. So, A.J. Hinch of the Detroit Tigers is the manager on the chopping block. Tom Cruisen out of Kansas City, Missouri. Mike Butler out of Pittsfield, Maryland. You two gentlemen have selected A.J. Hinch. And thanks to an absolutely lights-out bully and an all-star in the making, and according to my boy Omar Gabby, this year's AL Cy Young winner, Terrence Skubal, the Tigers are showing flashes of a team on the rise. The Motown Bengals haven't been to the playoffs in a decade, and they've only had one winning campaign during that span, and that was back in 2016. Their bullpen has the best ERA in all of baseball through the first month of the season. You might want to keep an eye on that, see if that continues to trend in that direction during the summer. They got 11 pitchers with ERAs under 3. And they have 8 pitchers with ERAs under 2.10. Now, the offense has been listless. It's going to need to improve. But the Tigers and their cavernous home field of Comerica Park have made the pitching staff their emphasis. With all that being said, Detroit finished last season with their best record since 2016. And this year they've been projected to win, you know, 81 as, you know, like this over and under. With higher expectations, this could ratchet up the pressure on Hinch, who needs to take the first step with this young club, and the time to evolve is now. And I don't see Hinch as super vulnerable, but there's a little vulnerability there if the team doesn't take this next step. I got him around 20%. So Tom Cruisen out of Kansas City, Missouri, and Mike Burke out of Pittsfield, Maryland, your manager is A.J. Hinch. So let me mark that down as manager number 8. And that brings us to the 9th manager in the 2024 Let's Talk Baseball Podcast Network Manager's Deathball. Alright. I reached into the hat and I grabbed out Pat Murphy from the Milwaukee Brewers. Okay. So let me see if I can get two names out of here. The Brewers have been playing really good baseball. I'm surprised, really. I really am. I thought that they surrendered when they traded out Corbin Burns to the Orioles, but no, they play pretty good. That's a pretty good team right there, I'll tell you. All right. I got two names out of the Gunnar Henderson hat. Pat Murphy for the Brewers. You're going to be represented by Justin Navarat out of Irvine, California. And my man Dean Hobson out of Marion, North Carolina. So two sides of the United States. Both of you got Pat Murphy for the Brewers. Who again? They've been playing pretty good. And the last we saw of Milwaukee during the regular season before this year, the Brew Crew was wrapping up another Central Division title. Soon thereafter, they watched their manager do the unthinkable and sign with the Cubs, and the front office was trading away their ace, Corbin Burns. And many people, including myself, figured, you know, the Brewers are just throwing in the towel this season. But stop the press. The Brewers are again in first place as I go to the mic, and they are led by rookie manager Pat Murphy. I don't think Pat Murphy is wonderful at all. And the early success, but you know, the early success in April, it's made him somewhat invaluable, if you feel me. Okay, Justin Navarat, Dean Hobson, you got Pat Murphy from the Milwaukee Brewers. All right, 10th manager. We're one third of the way there, folks. 10th manager of the LTBPN Manager's Deadpool 2024 is going to be Rob Thompson from the Philadelphia Phillies. That's not a great pick. I know you're hoping you don't get that name. Let's see what we got here. Or is it a bad pick? I don't, you know, we'll see. We got Abel Rosario out of L.A., California, living out there, rooting it up as a Mets fan out in La La Land. All right, Abel Rosario and Scott Yoakum out of Franklin, Tennessee. Your manager is Rob Thompson from the Filthy Phillies. And look, after dunking on the fish and the Braves in the playoffs last year, the Phillies' amazing run, it came to a crashing halt. And I told you, I'm a sucker for organizational lifers who finally get their chance, like Thompson, Snicker, Mike Schilt, Ron Washington. But Thompson is under incredible pressure as expectations of the local media and fan base are at an all-time fever pitch high. Thankfully, it looks like the players led by Thompson are prepared to meet the challenge, especially the filthy-ass rotation of theirs. It's so deep that Spencer Turnbull, who is 2-0 with a 1.33 ERA and 5 starts, is headed to the bullpen to make way for Julio Teheran. And even though he often hears it after the team stinks up the joint on any given day, he's one of the most well-respected, well-liked, passionate coaches in the game, which mirrors this ruckus fan base. And even though he had made up his mind to retire from the game after the 2022 season, he has a great chance to lead the Phillies to the World Series for the second time in the past 3 years. And the only thing that can touch Thompson right now is an absolute collapse by Filthy. And I just don't see it. I have Thompson at 15% and only that high because, you know, it can be a volatile baseball market, Philly, when it comes down to it, when times are tight. So, I got him at 15%. Vulnerable. Abel Rosario out of L.A. Scott Yoakum out of Franklin, Tennessee. Your manager is Rob Thompson. Let's go to the Magic Oriole hat one more time for pick number 11. And the manager on the chopping block is going to be Carlos Mendoza from the New York Mets. And let's see here. 10 picks, so we still need to pick two names here.
Oh, yes, it will.
Okay, I like that name right there. He might not like the pick, though. And let's see, the second name I'm unfolding right now. And this is real. I'm picking in there. It's a real deal thing, man. I'm picking the names right out of the hat. So no one's favored or anything like that. It's all random luck of the draw. Okay. Carlos Mendoza for the New York Mets. You're going to be represented by Mark Zolgai out of the United Kingdom. And JT Foster out of Baltimore, Maryland. It's summertime, baby. That's right. I don't know what to think about this pick. I mean, when I first heard the name Mendoza as a new manager of the Mets, I gotta tell you, it kind of gave me the heebie-jeebies. I don't know if I could play for a guy named Mendoza. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, man. That's just fucking creepy. At least not as a hitter. But all joking aside, I rather like what David Stern and the Mets did this offseason. They went in hard on Yamamoto. So hard, in fact, that they made the Dodgers step up and beat him out. And I totally understand why they went on because of his age and his ceiling. And much to the consternation of much of their fan base, I understand why they pulled the reins on offering any more ridiculous contracts after they went on Yusinibu. And I'm a believer in David Stearns. I think he's bright. He understands player value very well. He has a plan. And the Mets fans, they need to relax and let him do his thing. I told you, I'm not big on calling first-year managers vulnerable. I think Mendoza's going to have a leash. It's going to be kind of long. I also think the Mets have a great chance to be in the hunt down the stretch. I really, really do. I think Mendoza is safe. It's New York, and that's a beast in itself. But I'll say Mendoza's only about 9% vulnerable. All right, so I believe that was pick number 11, right? Which brings us up to number 12. All right, going into the Lucky Oriole hat, picking out a manager's name. The next manager on the chopping block is Bruce Bochy from the world champion Texas Rangers. I can't believe I would ever say that, world champion Texas Rangers. That's unbelievable, man. That's pretty fucking cool. All right. The two names to have Bruce Bochy. I know you're hoping it's not you. Jay Freed Houston out of Arkansas. And, man, that's a tough pick. Johnny Hayes out of Cincinnati, Ohio, my boy. All right, so this is a wasted pick. I apologize. I have Bochy. Probably with the second most job security in the game, along with Brandon Hyde of the Orioles, behind only Brian Snitker of the Braves, who I think is the most secure manager in the majors right now. The Rangers should be pretty good this year. We already know they can bash their brains in with the bats, and Bochy is more than capable of maneuvering a rotation that no longer has Jordan Montgomery as the security blanket. Everywhere Bochy goes, he wins. Texas is no different. Jay Freed Houston, Johnny Hayes. Sorry about your shitty pick. Better luck next year. I'll say 2% vulnerable because, I mean, look, we're all human. We're all going to die, right? Should that unfortunately happen, you would win. So take your 2%. Walk with God, my friend. Thank you. Okay. What a crappy pick for my boy Johnny. Sorry, bro. It's all random, man. Alright, pick number 13. Out of the Lucky Orioles hat. Ah, There's a name. Sal Joe Espada from the Houston Astros. And let me see who got his name. Reaching to the Gunnar Henderson helmet here. And I got Manny Russo's out of Amityville, New York. And the second name is James Goggins, my boy Goggy, out of Southern California. I think he's originally from NoCal, and he moved to Arizona. I don't know, this guy's like a Bedouin traveler, man. He just goes all over the place. I think he lives in Arizona now, but he's originally from Monterey, California. So James Goggins, Manny Russo's out of Amityville, New York. You got a pretty good pick. It's Joe Espada, Houston Astros. And usually, I already told you, I don't consider first-year managers very vulnerable. But of all the new incoming managers this season, Espada is the most vulnerable, in my opinion. Not all of it, because of anything he has or hasn't done thus far. As the Astros' rotation has been decimated by injury, their bully keeps blowing games late, their hitters have been unable to get the big knock when they need it. The local media is already giving a spot in the Blues, saying he's overwhelmed by the role of replacing Dusty Baker, and he's been flat-out incompetent. And there is a pervasive thought that he is already losing the clubhouse. The Astros are notorious slow starters, but this has been the worst start in years. They are 10 games, now 11 games under 500 for the first time since 2016. And at this point, he's not getting through to the players. And if this persists, the organization may have to pivot at some point. I was glad to see Espada finally get his shot. But thus far, it hasn't been pretty. I got him at 33% vulnerable. Joe Espada, Houston Astros, James Goggin, Manny Russo's. That's your guy. Okay. I believe that matters at 13, correct? I think so. I may have lost count here. I might have to make it up on the back end. I believe this is 14. On the Let's Talk Baseball Podcast Network 2024 Deadpool. The next manager coming out that lucky Orioles hat is Greg Council. Get your ass up on this platform. Put your head in there. There you go. Close that on the top. Greg Council is on the chopping block. And the first name I'll pull out is my man Clay Bearden out of Sweet Home, Alabama. And the next pick here is Derek Moeller out of Springfield, Virginia. Alright. Clay Bearden, Alabama. Derek Moeller out of Springfield, Virginia. That's like Northern Virginia, up near Fairfax and all that. And your manager is going to be Craig Council. And when it comes to the Cubs, missing out on the postseason last year to the Fish, it stung the Cubs brass. They went out, they had a proactive season, and bigger than the trade for slugging Dodgers farmhand Michael Busch, bigger than re-signing outfielder Cody Bellinger, and even bigger than the acquisition of Japanese softball Shota Imanaga, whom I told you during the hot stove season, he was the best value sign in the offseason, dollars to donuts. Bigger than all these things was the hiring of Craig Council, the former manager from the rival Brewers. And I think we all know Council is a proven commodity. There is almost zero chance he will be fired. But he could die. I'm just saying, you know, it happens. So I'll say 4% vulnerable. Sorry about the shitty pick. Okay. Next manager. Pulling into my lucky Orioles hat right here. It's going to be Scott Service from the Seattle Mariners. And we got to get two names here. Oh, what you doing, little baby? That's my girl Toto. She had something to say. I think she kind of wants Scott Service. You want Scott Service's name, baby girl? All right. Scott Service. So, I got one name pulled. I'm going to pull a second name here. Not, you can't get on the console, baby. All right. Frankie Oz, my man out of Glen Neck, New York, the throwback draft champion. You got Cecil Hackworth down in Summerfield, Florida. Your manager is Scott Service from the Seattle Mariners. And this will be Service's ninth season in charge of the M's. And if you look at his track record, he's really done nothing worth of note. He's yet to win the division. He has one wild card series win to his credit, and his winning percentage is barely over 500 to 516. He has plenty of talent both on the bump and at the dish. And I told you last year, this team is dumb streaky. And all you have to do is look at last year's example. At one point, they looked like world killers in the driver's seat to beat out the Astros and Rangers for the West title, but they fell completely flat the last 2 weeks, ceding their postseason berth to both of those teams. And I just have a feeling if the Mariners don't at least make the playoffs this year, Scotty's gone. I got Scott Service at 70% vulnerable. So there you go. Cecil Hackworth, Frankie Eyes. You got Scotty Service at Scotty Service, the manager for the Mariners. And I don't know if I'm lost on the count here. I think we're at 15 now. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take one name. And I might make that out up on the back end if I see I got more names than the other helmet. Okay, so, just thinking aloud. Pardon me. The next manager coming out of that hat, Dave Martinez. Put your head right here. There you go. Lock it in real good. Let's pick out two listeners here. By the way, I want to thank you so much for all the support you guys have given me throughout the year. You can find me on all podcast platforms, wherever you listen to BKP, or any of your pods, quite honestly. So, reaching into the manager's hat here, and the manager is Dave Martinez from the Washington Nationals. The two people that have his name are going to be Travis Hall out of Amherst, Wisconsin, and Scott DeBean out of Saratoga Springs, New York. And I don't know, it's not a bad pick. Martinez has been a ring he's got a ring. He's been a skipper for the Nats. But that's beginning to feel like a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, which goes a long way. But it only goes so far for so long. And since then, the Nats have endured four straight losing seasons, finishing in last in all four. Although they did improve to 71-91 from their 107-loss debacle in 2022, and they have had massive amount of turnover, losing star players in the process. You can only finish and last so many times before the fans get restless and start stirring the pot. I think Martinez had bought himself some goodwill with that World Championship win, but the Nationals need to show Mark the permit this year for him to keep his job. I'm going to put Dave Martinez at 33% vulnerable. I don't think he'll be fired during the season, but if Rizzo doesn't see improvement in the club by the end of the year, he may decide to cut bait. So, Scott DeBean, Travis Hall, your manager is Dave Martinez of the Washington Nationals. Okay, so now we're going to go to one pick apiece. I may have one guy left over in the end, then maybe two picks on the manager at the end there. So, the next manager, pull that down of me in my Orioles lucky hat here. Oh, man. Pedro Grifol from the Chicago White Sox. And I know all of you are on pins and needles wanting this one right here. Let's see what we got. The lucky winner of the Pedro Grifol sweepstakes in the 2024 Manager's Death Pool is going to be my man Danny Barrera out of Denver, Colorado. And this is only Grifol's second season as a manager, and while it is debatable whether the blame is completely on her, on him, he does deserve the hot seat that he now sits on. His rookie year was a disaster, and 2024 is on pace to be even worse. A pitching rotation in shambles after Eric Fetty, organization, cultural issues in the clubhouse, a poor defensive team, and adversity around every corner. And now the White Sox are taking on water, and they're slowly sinking to the bottom of the MLB ocean. Last year, Grifol challenged 40 umpire calls, and only 16 were overturned for a 40% success rate. Now, Grifol does have a strong relationship with new GM Chris Getz that goes back quite a few years, but Pedro wasn't hired by Getz. He was hired by former think tank of Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn, and most GMs like to put their own stamp on it. It's been a hard start in 2024 for the Southsiders, and I kind of think this is a great pick. So great, in fact, I feel like I had to get this show done quickly because I fear that his demise is imminent. I got Grifol at 75% vulnerable. So Danny Barrera, Denver, Colorado, you have won the Pedro Grifol sweepstakes. Okay, going into that, next manager coming out is going to be Aaron Boone of the New York Yankees. That's an interesting pick. Excuse me. All right, who's got Aaron Boone? It's going to be John Stansberry out of Round Rock, Texas. Come on down, baby. You have won the rights to Aaron Boone. And what a difference a year one player makes, right? By the end of last year, the Bombers had missed the playoffs, and New Yorkers were preparing to be disappointed by the Jets and Giants. The Bricks have been pretty good this year. The Apple was screaming for the head of Aaron Boone to be served up to Don Mattingly. But all that has changed with the arrival of Juan Soto. Without Soto this year, I do not think the Yankees would be this competitive. He is clearly the AL MVP favorite for the first month. And I told you during the hot stove season that Soto was tailor-made for that stadium, for that fan base, for that city. I also told you that the Yankees were going all in. World Series or bust in 2024. You don't trade for Juan Soto and not have World Series aspirations. Just ask the Padres. Even without ace Garrett Cole, who, look, I consider the best pitcher in the American League, the Yankees have been consistently strong. Carlos Rodon, he looks healthy, ready to rebound from a forgettable year last year. Cortez looks healthy. Marcus Stroman looks committed. and healthy. No signs of batshit crazy there yet. The 2.94 team ERA is fourth best in the league, and that's without Cole, who has begun to speed up his throwing regimen. And while Soto has led the team offensively, he is getting major contributions from second-year shortstop Anthony Volpe and third baseman Oswaldo Cabrera. And it's only a matter of time before Aaron Judge breaks out, and this team is going to be stupid dangerous. However, no Yankees managers are invulnerable. If this talented crew of Yankees should falter for any reason, I do believe Boone will pay the price. They've given him everything he could possibly ask for, and now the pressure is really on for Aaron. I have Aaron Boone at 25% vulnerable, not because I think the Yankees will falter, because I don't, but if they do, and when I say falter, I mean at least make it to the ALCS. Championship Series. No pressure there, right? Boone will be expected to commit seppuku, the ancient Japanese samurai ritual of falling on one sword while having your head chopped off. So, not particularly vulnerable, but the Yankees don't make the ALCS, there's going to be some splaining to do. Okay. Next pick in the 2024 manager deathbolt. And the next manager is Mark Cossey from the Oakland A's. And let's see who has him. Reaching into the Gunnar Henderson helmet here. Oh, good. This is a, he'll like this pick. It's my boy Jeremy Jeffries out of Wellston, Ohio. You have Mark Cossey. And give me a second. It's a goddamn shame to watch this once proud team go up in flames the last 3 years. 2 years ago, they lost to Rock Bob Melvin to the Padres in 2022, and they proceeded to lose 102 games. Last year, they lost 112 games, the most losses in franchise history since they played in Philadelphia during the 1960 campaign. And, you know, that's after Connie Mack sold off his first dynasty, which we covered here at Backwards Game 5. And that's in that banging-ass catalog I have detailing over 250 years of baseball history. But I digress. What's even worse for the A's and their faithful fans are watching the lease to the Oakland Mausoleum in Alameda County disintegrate after this season. And while MLB has already approved to move to Las Vegas, the city isn't exactly rolling out the red carpet awaiting their arrival. The Athletics signed Cossey to an extension last year that runs through the 2025 season, even though he's been at the helm back-to-back losing seasons here. His managerial record with Oakland is 110 wins, 214 losses going into this year. On the bright side, the A's have been better this year. I mean, they couldn't possibly be fucking worse, right? But I feel like I can safely say they are not the worst team in baseball this year. It's probably the White Sox. It's hard to handicap Cossey because who the hell knows what the the unscrupulous and competent owner John Fisher is doing. Does he even care that the team is losing? He obviously doesn't give a shit about the city he plays in. He hasn't even talked to Mayor Elizabeth Schaub about his plans. He's just gonna Bob Irsay the shit out of that town. And one day the fans will wake up and the A's will be gone. Let's hope for Cossey's sake he doesn't go with them. He deserves better. Everyone involved deserves better, except Fisher. Hell has the best room reserved for his arrival. He's a total douche nozzle. I'm sorry the city of Oakland and their fans have to bargain with such a fucking clown. But Jeremy Jeffries, Wellston, Ohio, Mark Cossey is your guy. I think it's a pretty good pick. But I don't know. The A's look better this year. I mean, that kid Mason Miller. Holy smoke, that dude can deal. Alright, who's the next manager in the 2024 LTBPA Manager's Death Pool? Okay. I got John Schneider from the Toronto Blue Jays. And you will be represented by Ozzy Cruz, my boy down in Puerto Rico. Ho, Puerto Rico. Ho. Ozzy Cruz, you got John Schneider. And can we talk? The Jays appear to be stuck between a rock and a hard place. And at the end of the day, Schneider may pay the price, as he is definitely on my list of vulnerable managers. His moves are often second-guessed by the frustrated fans, as was the case in last year's playoff debacle versus the Twins when he inexplicably yanked Jose Barrios from a must-win game in the fourth when he's dealing smoke. And while guys like Vladdy G, George Springer, Bo Bichette have done very little consistently as a unit to help their skipper's cause, the divide among fans over whether Schneider's the guy or not is getting more lopsided against. Most fans and media type would love a fresh face, but in doing so, it would be the third coach in six seasons for our Canadian cousins. Schneider has a 135-101 record in 3 years at the helm. He has challenged 76 umpire calls and has had only 27 of those disputed. Calls overturned. That's a 35.5 success rate, the worst in baseball amongst returning managers. Expectations for this team are rightfully high this year. They have one of the most formidable rotations in the American League. The bully gets it done as well. They play exceptional defense, and they have the big three offensive monsters, along with an emerging Dalton Varsho. And many analysts and fans believe that this talented squad should have more postseason success on their resume. If the Jays don't make the post, I truly believe Schneider's run will come to an end and the gig will be handed to Don Mattingly. I got Schneider at 50% vulnerable. It's a coin flip. And it's not a bad draw. So Ozzy Cruz down in Puerto Rico, you got John Schneider of the Toronto Blue Jays. All right, the next manager to come out the lucky Orioles hat is Skip Schumacher from the Miami Marlins. And who's going to get Skip Schumacher? Let's see here, reaching in to the Gunnar Henderson hat. And I got Stephen Mark Saunders from Parts Unknown. Okay, Skip Schumacher, Miami Marlins. That's your guy, Stephen Mark Saunders. The 2023 Marlins set a franchise record for wins prior to the All-Star break. They finished 84-78 third place last year, making the post for just the fourth time in club history. And as such, rookie Skip Schumacher was named the NL Manager of the Year last year. And while going into the season, you may have thought Skip should be pretty secure. Things in baseball can change quickly in the blink of an eye. And they have. The pitcher now 6-20 as they go to air, and they are looking pretty fucking woeful. The only real hitter in the lineup so far has been Luis Arraez. The rest are either one-dimensional, or they're in love with their own legend, or they're just not very good. And I'll leave it to you to decide who was who. The pitching in April has been atrocious, and they have a significant injury issue with A.J. Puck, who has arguably been their worst pitcher in the pitch rotation, and the staff ace Sandy Alcantara's on the shelf while he's recovering from Tommy John surgery. If the Fish can put April behind them, rebound in May, this will be forgotten, but if the season continues to snowball in Miami, it could spell the end for Skip in Miami. I think it will survive, but I think 33.3% vulnerable is fair after this horrendous start to the season. Okay, so Stephen Mark Saunders. You got Skip Shoemaker. It looks like these managers' names are going up. I don't know what the count is, but the pile of paper is getting smaller and smaller. The next name to be drawn is Bud Black from the Colorado Rockies. And let me reach into this Gunnar Henderson helmet here. Pull this out. It's Chris Maris out of Chicago. Big time White Sox fan. Your manager is Bud Black. And look, Chris, you know, Bud Black is a hard nut to crack on this manager's Deadpool. I mean, logically, he has guided the Rocks to 5 straight fucking losing seasons, and their record keeps steadily getting worse. But given how the Rocks conduct business, I wouldn't be surprised if he comes through unscathed. Last year, the franchise suffered 103 losses, their worst season ever. And this year ain't even looking that good thus far. I mean, let's be honest. I know it's a very small sample size, but good Lord, that's not a good look. Good God, that's a bowling shoe ugly team. Surely the goodwill and luster from 2 playoff appearances in his first 2 years have worn off by now. But since the Rockies are 111 games under 500 since making the playoffs 3 years ago. Now, I gotta say, he's 75% vulnerable. I just don't know, though, when it comes to the Rockies management and ownership, if they're willing to pull that trigger. So, Chris Maris out of Chicago, you got Bud Black from the Colorado Rockies. All right, moving right along, let's go into the hat. The 2024 Manager's Deadpool, sponsored by Laparose Hand Cleaners. You can call and get your orders in at 713-588-0290. He got Cajun sauces, butters, wipes, soaps. I mean, it's just amazing. I'm so proud of my dude. Okay. Ray Bostaff out of Akron, Ohio. Your manager is going to be Alex Cora from the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox have played pretty good. Their pitching has been pretty fucking good this year. I mean, so far, not too bad for Boston. The Red Sox have a very good farm system. I feel like same with the Orioles 2 years ago. The Sox are probably a year early in their build here. Traditionally, the Sox like to bludgeon you to dust in their offensive powerhouse and a green monster. But it's actually been their pitching that has held the line here in April 2024. 27-year-old Cutter Crawford, which, god damn, that's a great name for a pitcher. He's been pitching the best baseball of his career. He's not just leading the Red Sox staff. He has the best ERA in the bigs right now with a .66 earned run average. That is the third best ERA in Sox club history through 5 starts. It's tied with Roger Clemens in 1991 and trailing only Red Sox Hall of Famer Dave Boo Ferris with a .60 in 1956 and Hall of Famer Lefty Grove in his .21 in 1936. Currently, he hasn't allowed a home run for the last 42 and two-thirds innings pitched. That's dating back to last year, and he's only given up 2 extra base hits all year. He got a 5-pitch repertoire, 4-seam, sweeper, splitter, the Mike Mussina knuckle curve, and fittingly, his cutter is his out-pitch. And the pitching has carried this team thus far, even though Boston has suffered a barrage of injuries, including notable players like starting pitcher Garrett Whitlock and Nick Pavetta, third baseman Rafael Devers, shortstop Trevor Story, who's ding-ding for the year, first baseman Tristan Cass, as well as their most productive bat in the first month of 2024, Tyler O'Neill. The pitching trio of Cutter, Brian Bellow, Tanner Hawk, they have led the early season charge. If they can hold it together while dudes get healthy, at some point, let's see what shortstop prospect Marcelo Meyer and outfield farmhand Anthony Roman have to offer. The Sox can find themselves legitimately in the hunt which, if I'm being honest, I thought they were a year away at the beginning of the season. I don't think much was expected from Coors guys this year, and he's kind of playing with house money right now. I don't find him particularly vulnerable at all, and I know a lot of publications don't agree with me. I have him at 15% vulnerable. The Red Sox did not back the Brinks truck up to Lansdowne Avenue Street this year. They didn't throw money around, and I believe ownership is going to consider that when it comes to Cora, unless Boston absolutely sinks like the Titanic. So, Raymond Bostaff, you have Alex Cora. Many people think he is vulnerable. I'm not one of those people, so I guess it's kind of like a coin flip at this point. Good luck with your pick there, buddy. All right, let's dig into the Lucky Orioles hat. And we're going to go with the manager on the chopping block is Brian Snitker of the Atlanta Braves. And you're be represented by Richard Sabatos out of St. Louis, Missouri. And that's not a good pick. I've already told you. That's not a good pick. The Braves have one of the richest managerial traditions in the history of the game. From Bobby Cox all the way down to Frank Seeley, it's a lineage that the organization has always treated with care. And it shows as Atlanta has only had three managers since Bobby Cox returned in 1990. The 68-year-old skipper is entering his ninth year at the helm, and he has amassed a 646-509 win-loss record. He's won the NL Manager of the Year in 2018, and since that win, he hasn't finished lower than fourth in award tabulations, and the past two campaigns have seen him have back-to-back third-place finishes for Manager of the Year. 2021 World Champion, without question, in my mind, he has the most job security this year than any other manager in the bigs. This is just an awful pick, and I'm so sorry, Richard. I guess someone had to get him, so sorry about that. I was really looking forward to you having a good manager in your first year. Come back next year. You're listening to the Let's Talk Baseball Podcast Network. Backwards K-Pod 2024 Manager's Death Pool. And the piles of paper are getting smaller and smaller. The next manager is going to be Stephen Vaught from the Cleveland Guardians. And you're going to be represented by Steve Mizwich out of Baltimore, Maryland. Another Baltimore guy that lives in Baltimore, but he's a transplant from Philly. It was the 3rd of September. Now, Baltimore, Philly, we're like cousins practically. They're a little more highbrow than us, I think, maybe. So, look. Steve Mizwich. Stephen Vaught for the Guardians. You never know what can happen during the course of a season with these managers. And last year was a perfect example for that. Going into last year, manager's death pool, I had Tito Francona as the most secure manager in his job. And by the end of the year, Tito was waving goodbye to the baseball universe. At one point, it was looking like the most secure manager in the pool, which just upset the balance of the pool. But the Giants gave Gabe Kapler the boot before Francona's farewell. And first-year manager Stephen Vaught has the Guardians believing they can actually hit the ball, as Stephen Kwan, Andrés Giménez, and Josh Naylor have led the offensive firepower that has catapulted Cleveland into the top five of the American League in average OBP and slugging. The 330 total bases is sixth in the league, and Jose Ramirez hasn't even warmed up yet. Cleveland has dominated the Central in past years because of their pitching machine that they have just crafted along the shores of the majestic Cuyahoga shoreline. But if the hitting continues to trend in this direction, they could be primed to win yet another Central title. By all accounts, the players have rallied around their new manager, who was described as comfortable and his own skin, meticulously prepared, obsessively observant. You know, he sounds like your typical badass catcher. And I told you guys recently how much I love catchers. The guys, Stephen Vaught, he's a guy who didn't get to his first major league hit until his 32nd at bat. Yet, he found his way to two All-Star teams and is now managing an MLB team with no previous managerial experience. And he's replacing the irreplaceable Terry Francona. And by all accounts, so far, he is excelling because of his relentlessness and superior communication skills. Now, certainly, every team has their down moments of a long season, and we will see how the team and new manager are when that happens. But so far, outstanding job by Vaught, and he is not vulnerable at all to being fired. Steve Mizwich, unfortunately, I got to give you Steve Vaught from the Cleveland Guardians. Okay, so it looks like there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 managers left, and I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 names left, right?
Hey, Mama, is it true what you say?
Okay.
Papa never worked a day in his life.
And Mama, bad talk going around town saying
the all right.
Three outside children and another wife.
The next manager pulled out is Matt Quatraro.
Talking about saving souls and all the time.
From the Kansas City Royals. And he will be represented by Stephen Bryce. Montreal, Canada. All right, good listener here, sends me messages all the time. Stephen Bryce out of Montreal, Quebec, and he has Matt Quatraro from the Royals. Last year was Quatraro's first year in Kansas City, and it was brutal. The second most losses behind only Oakland. Luckily for him, he was able to weather the rookie season storm, and he's come out better on the other side after the first month of play here in 2024. The Royals went out and spent a little money this past offseason, especially on the pitching side, and the additions of Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo has paid dividends, and for nothing else, lengthening the rotation out around Cy Young contender Cole Reagans and Brady Singer. I've seen the Royals in 2 series face my boys so far this year, and this is not the same team as last year. First of all, Salvy Perez. Holy shnikes, dude. He is killing it. And Bobby Witt Jr., my God, what a beautiful baseball player. Progress over last year's record is warranted, but I still give him a long shot to be the first to get booted. I got him at 20-1 odds. Matt Quatraro of the Kansas City Royals. Okay, moving right along. 2024 Manager's Death Bowl, sponsored by Labrador's Hand Cleaners, reaching into the hat. And I'm pulling out a name from the Gunnar Henderson helmet. And it's going to be Greg Stewart out of Piscataway, New Jersey. Now, I do know Greg Stewart's from Piscataway. All right, Tori Lavula, Arizona Diamondbacks, defending West, defending National League champions. And this really isn't a good pick. 2 years ago, he was skating on thin ice, but last November, Lavula was given a second extension within 6 months of the prior one, and that contract had run through the 2026 season. He received it a week after losing to the Texas Rangers in the World Series. The Snakes were 52-110 in 2021. Let's see here, 74-88 in 2022. And their 10-game improvement last year was enough to get them in the post for the first time since 2017 and the first World Series, and the World Series for the first time since 2001. He's always been an above-average game manager. He's amazing in his clubhouse. And last year, he looked re-energized. He seemed to be reinvigorated as a teacher. I expect the Snakes to be competitive. I expect GM Mike Haven will honor his contract with Labulo. Excuse me, whom he deeply respects. So, Greg Stewart, your manager is Tory Lavula. All right, we're down to three managers and three names. Okay. Reaching into the Lucky Orioles hat. Picking out manager number 28. Brandon Hyde from the Baltimore Orioles. And with Hyde on the chopping block, let's see who's got him. Jerry Liu out of Taiwan. And I love that this show is just all over the world. Look at that. We got people in England, Australia, Taiwan, Canada, and of course America here. I mean, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Brandon Hyde, Baltimore Orioles. That's your guy, Jerry Liu. And obviously, I don't think Hyde is vulnerable at all. In fact, just based on the relationship he has held with GM Mike Elias since day one, I don't think he has been in jeopardy at all. Even when he had guys like Pedro Severino, Rio Ruiz, Asher Wojciechowski leading the charge to mediocrity. Now, he got studs like Adley Rockstar, Gunnar Henderson, Corbin Burns, Grayson Rodriguez in the stable, and freaks like Silent J, Heston Kjerstad, Cody Mayo, Jackson Holliday, Sammy Basayo, Kurt Stowers, Enrique Bradfield, among others in the wing and on the precipice. I have Hyde as one of the more stable managers in the game. And that wasn't always the case. But now, with new ownership, the Baltimore Orioles haven't been this healthy as an organization in years. Probably since the mid-60s, when you had Earl Weaver and Cal Ripken Sr. going up and down the Carolinas, building the organization from within, from the ground up. It's going to be a bloody war of attrition in the AL East again this year. And barring debilitating injuries, the Orioles should be right in the middle of it all. The O's have crazy trade picks at their disposal. They can literally have any game-changing player available at the trade deadline should the Elias Brain Trust desire him. And Jerry Liu, I'm sorry, brother, that's a tough pick here with Brandon. Better luck next year. I got Brandon Hyde at 3% vulnerable. Okay. The 29th manager in the 2024 managers, Deadpool. And looks like it's going to be Rocco Baldelli from the Minnesota Twins. And that will be 20. That's going to be Joseph Johnson, my boy JC out of Chicago, Illinois. Well, check it out, Joe. I feel like Baldelli is relatively safe, but the Twins' slow start may throw a monkey wrench into his job security if the season continues to trend the way the first month is gone. The team is mired in injuries to Carlos Correa, Royce Lewis, which has not only impacted their offensive firepower, but it's also fucked with their defensive metrics as Will Castro, Austin Martin, Manuel Margot, and Alex Kirilloff. They've been thrust into various defensive roles because of these injuries. Now, keeping Byron Buxton healthy and upright, put some duct tape on him, and, you know, maybe splits his ass up. You know, you gotta keep him healthy for 145, 150 games. And you can do that, you can go a long way for Baldelli's job security. But historically, we all know that's probably a big ass. A big ass. And I don't think Baldelli will be the first. But I do see a little vulnerability there. I got him at 33% vulnerable. And that's for Joe Johnson out of Chicago, Illinois, Rocco Baldelli of the Minnesota Twins. And that leaves us one last player, one last manager in the 2024 death pool. And it's my boy Mikey Franks, the very last pick of the very last participant of the Deadpool selection process here. And I don't even know which manager's left. Which manager's left? Kevin Cash of the Rays. That's a tough go there. Mikey Franks, you got Kevin Cash of the Tampa Rays. 46-year-old signed an extension with the team back in February when team principal owner Stuart Sternberg said that Cash will be here and he's going to carry us into and beyond the team's plan moved in 2028. And Kevin has been a manager since the beginning of the 2015 season and is now the longest tenured MLB manager after Guardians manager Terry Francona retired at the end of last year. The Rays have made the postseason five consecutive years under a steady helm, playing in arguably the toughest division in baseball with tremendous financial disadvantages. The Rays are expected to compete again in 2024, though their bats have yet to get going, and for once, they do not have any big arm pitchers coming through the pipeline, except for Shane Boz, a guy that you know very well, Mikey Franks, who had TJ surgery back in September. Ryan Pepiot has been solid, whom they acquired in the Tyler Glasnow deal with the Dodgers, and he might be a dude to keep an eye on. Also, closer Pete Fairbanks is having nerve-related issues with his arm, and he's going to be getting tested all week. I don't think Cash is vulnerable, as he is loved and admired in the clubhouse and in the fan base, and I got him at 5%. So my boy Mikey Franks, you got Kevin Cash of the Tampa Bay Rays. And that, my friends, is the completion of the 2024 Manager's Death Pool. Some of you had some really good potential, some not so much. Better luck next year. But I hope you had fun nonetheless. A little BKP programming note as Gunner gets us back to Terrapin Station. Now, for the past 3 years, I've been going at this pretty hard, pretty much by myself, week in and week out. And if I'm being honest with myself and my audience, I'm kind of running on fumes lately. And so for the first time in 3 years, I've decided to take next week off. It's not a complete week off. I will be still working on things behind the scenes to enhance the show and the product. I got a throwback draft to judge on the LTBPN private Facebook group page. But I think I need a week to take a step back, rest my arm that has logged a lot of innings the past 3 years, and work on some behind the scenes projects this week to not only help enhance the show, but enhance, you know, the Facebook page and all the other projects that I have going on. I grew up watching Cal Ripken Jr. And it's going to be hard for me not to be in a lineup this week, but I got to look at the long-term picture and ways I can make the show even better for my trusty C-Med nerds. And sometimes you got to take a break. You got to rest yourself and you got to come back with the vim and vigor. So as Gunner races down the tracks to get you reached home, I can see the 2024 death pool getting smaller and smaller in my rearview mirror. So with that processing through my mental computer, I turn our gaze to our never-say-die baseball hydra, and I chop the head off that beast, only to see two more baseball Tommies appear in his place. The next show, we're going to the streets of San Francisco, baby. I'm going to take a week off. I'm going to get reinvigorated. And then we're heading out to the city by the bay to learn about the history of baseball in San Francisco. We're going to dig into Steel Stadium, the Stick, Oracle Park, see what we can learn about baseball by the bay. Sounds like a lot of fun. And I look forward to bringing that to you freaks and all the other great stories I got lined up for you guys the rest of this baseball season. I hope you guys enjoyed playing my game today as much as I enjoyed presenting it to you. And I look forward to seeing you for the Baseball in San Francisco show. So, I believe I achieved my goals this week. Vinny was saying, which means I came, I saw, I kicked that show's ass. Remember to subscribe, follow, share the show with all your CMAT buddies. Leave me a rating review. It's how I beat Gunner. Expand my profile on the web. I ain't scared. I do what I do when I do it. Nobody does it better. So hook a brother up. Parents, if you see your kid sitting on the couch like a bored and unproductive AF, by all means, take those little monkeys outside and play a game of catch. Thank y'all for coming out. God bless and win the day. And like my boy Shay Hillebrand told me in our one-on-one sparring session in the dojo a few years back, you go to hell, Andy Pettit. Go straight to hell. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Straight to the depths, you southpaw demon. I'll see you nerds in a couple of weeks. Me and Charlie Guns, we're going to take a week off, hang out at the beach for a few days. Nobody does wingman like my boy, I got to tell you. So me and Gunny, we're throwing up our Gunner Henderson's, y'all. That's our number twos. As in, peace. Hey, and don't forget about me. I love you guys. See y'all. Oh,